88.9 FM reminds you that the views expressed on WEAA programs are those of participants and not necessarily those of Morgan State University, the staff, management, or underwriters of Baltimore's home for cool jazz. WEAA 88.9 FM.
The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. Good to have you with us here on the Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. So there was an article that came out of the New York Times. Actually, many people read it the week before it came out, about Marilyn Mosby and Nick Mosby and the trial of the officers, and that caused quite a bit of controversy in the last week. There was also the controversy that was caused when a conservative right-wing group feted the officers and awarded the officers who were in the Freddie Gray case, at least three of them, the three white officers. We're not sure yet to this point whether the three black officers were invited or not invited to that event, but they didn't show up. The three white officers showed up, and that has caused a political storm. How does this all fit into the overall question of Marilyn Mosby and this case in general? She clearly is under attack at this moment. It's a complex moment, I think. It's clear that many forces are calling for Marilyn Mosby's head. The political establishment does not like her. She came out of nowhere to win the election. The FOP clearly does not like her. Some legal minds and lawyers say she ran a shoddy case and that her office moved too quickly to indict. That's always a question. Others agree with her that it was impossible to convict police officers in cases like this, no matter what she did. And what is clear, that it appears that that many groups like the FOP and some in the establishment political figures are looking for someone African-American to run against her, to get her out of office. Politically, though, she is really supported by many black voters in this city because of who she represents, what she represents. And I think one of the things that the article that Will Hilton, who is a friend of mine, I will add, who wrote the article in the New York Times, didn't get was that I think that Marilyn Mosby won this race, not for all the reasons that he indicated, but primarily because Bernstein seemed to ignore the black community. At least the black community thought he was ignoring them. And when it came to police brutality, and Marilyn Mosby was a fresh face saying, I'm going to deal with this and address it, which is why she won the election. But what does that all leave? The political establishment, the politics of the city, and where does it leave the police department? There have been articles written that we talk about the Ferguson effect. Many people said there was a Freddie Gray effect, where officers stopped going after criminals in the streets of Baltimore, that crime went up, and that was even alluded to in the article Will Hilton wrote, that a woman police officer he spoke with basically said yes, that we did pull back from going after criminals because of being afraid of being indicted for brutality and more. So where does this all really live? We're joined here by four people who have joined us before to talk about this and want your help at 410-319-8888. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner. You can log on to our Facebook pages. But please, join us. We need to hear your thoughts about Marilyn Mosby, these cases, where we think we're going. We are joined in studio by Doug Colbert, professor of law at the University of Maryland School of Law, who attended every trial, every day, every moment. Good to have you in the studio, Doug.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Let me pull that mic down to you. People can actually hear what you have to say.
Thank you very much, Mark.
And in the studio also Dwight Pettit, A. Dwight Pettit, one of our noted defense attorneys, who represented many clients in police misconduct cases and represents the West family at this moment. Good to have you in the studio, Dwight. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Tom Moronic joins us. He's a Baltimore attorney as well, host of the Tom Moore Show. And Tom, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Mark. Always glad to be with you and on your fine program.
And Raleigh Hayes joins us, organizer for Be More Black, who has interesting analysis about all this from a different perspective, completely, I would say, than many people that our establishment media would listen to. Raleigh, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Mark.
410-319-8888 is the number here, so please join us, 410-319-8888. So we're going to hear some clips in a moment of Marilyn Mosby. Do we have any of those ready? We have our first clip ready? No? Okay, well, as soon as we do, we'll get that playing for you. So, I mean, when you look at this picture of Marilyn Mosby at the moment, I mean, many of you probably read the article in the New York Times. You saw the articles all this week in the Baltimore Sun about the event that these three white officers took part in and the controversies there. So what is that? What does that leave us in this? What is that means? Not where does leave us. What is your initial analysis of where this takes us politically and legally and around with the police? Dwight?
Well, you know, Mark, I've been on your show several times, and I've always been a supporter of Ms. Mosby. I was before she was elected, and I still am after she's been in office. And, of course, I support the prosecution, and I would refute the arguments that it was hasty. I believe that she had probable cause, and she moved at the right time. The difficulties that the article talks about that she incurred, we are very much aware of that in terms of the cooperation or non-cooperation of the police department and the city solicitor's office, which a lot of people don't realize. Several of the people who were involved in that lack of cooperation, Commissioner Batts and George Nelson, and no longer here, having been terminated by the mayor. They are not able to give us some of the real facts as to what took place. But to directly talk to your question, I think we're in a sort of a middle or abyss right now. And I think a lot of that also depends upon the arrival of the new mayor, whoever that might be, the Democratic nominee, being Catherine Pugh. And in light of, add that in conjunction with the Justice Department findings and what we're waiting for in terms of the consent decree, we have a lot that's in limbo right now in terms of Baltimore City and Baltimore City politics.
Let me go to Tom Maronic and your thoughts, just your analysis of all this.
I think a lot of what Dwight said is true. Certainly this is a tough situation for the new mayor, likely Catherine Pugh, but obviously the election will be coming up soon and we'll see. I think that she has to instill trust in the police, and she needs to get the rank and file to trust in what she's doing. Because the reality is, and I'm not pointing fingers at Marilyn Mosby here on this, she has a right to press charges if she feels there's a case. I mean, that's a fact. In this particular case, the officers were found not guilty other than one where the jury was hung, and then she dismissed the charges in the others. But what I do think is that the police haven't been arresting. I think it's painfully obvious when you go to North Avenue, when you go to some of the other district courts, there just aren't cases. There used to be cases. Now there's fairly empty courtrooms. One person who works in the circuit court told me that they have been not opening as many courtrooms as they normally would because there just aren't as many cases being brought up from district court. So, I mean, those are the realities. The police aren't doing the things that they were doing before, for better or for worse. And the new mayor now has to come in and pick up that mantle.
Doug Colbert, your analysis.
Well, Mark, to begin, I thought the article was extremely disappointing. The best I can say about the article is that it allows the public to understand the personal consequences that some of our best public officials experience when they take on the difficult challenge of opposing the police union, of trying to change a police culture, of attempting to prosecute officers whom I believe the evidence supported those prosecutions quite well. So we learn more about Ms. Mosby, who's one of the very few people who tells us what is really happening within the system, tells us that it's hopelessly broken, that is our criminal justice system. Speaks on behalf of Freddie Gray. There are very, very few public officials that ever will speak on behalf of Freddie Gray and other people who were among the 100,000 people arrested during the time of zero tolerance. So we have a different type of prosecutor here. And I fully support the evidence that was presented in court because I was there every day and I got to hear and see what led Ms. Mosby to conduct an independent investigation, because she realistically feared, that when the police investigate themselves, the outcome is almost certain. What I would have liked the article to tell us about is that Ms. Mosby is the one out of 100 local prosecutors who dares to bring charges against police officers who kill in the line of duty. What I would have liked to have seen more of is how she wants to change a police culture that relies on the code of silence, that tells officers, thou shalt not testify against another officer. And now she's facing a great deal of what you call attacks, but they're very personal and they're professional. She has lawsuits to counter, which I believe those suits will be dismissed. She has ethical charges, which again, I feel are baseless. But they're all efforts to send a message to other local prosecutors. If you dare to follow the evidence and to bring criminal charges where probable cause exists, then you too shall be the subject of a concerted effort to remove you from office.
So, Ralik Hayes, you've been in the forefront a lot of the not just discussions but demonstrations in the street around the death of Freddie Gray and these trials. So talk about your analysis of what this means.
I'll agree that it is a complicated issue. I think the first thing we have to acknowledge is the fact that, yes, our justice system is broken, and I mean from the very beginning. So when you talk about the police, like from the police department, police culture, to the state's attorney's office, and I think that's a fact that a lot of us try to ignore and try to glamorize Marilyn Mosby's office. You know, she had done such great things because she charged the police officers. That is not enough. That is never enough. It will never be enough. And it's not something to take pride in, right? Like, there should not, you should not be able to say that, oh, I charged an officer. That's a step forward. That just shows how messed up our system is. And so I think it's interesting to note that Marilyn Mosby deflects, you know, her office's own position in the system and how it ensures the corruption that happens because she has to work with police departments. As shown by the DOJ report, you know, there are attorneys within that office that are a part of the corruption and a part of the a problem. And so that just shows that it is not a police culture issue. It is an actual issue of racism and the fact that folks have racism deeply embedded into their culture and subconscious. But as far as Marilyn Mosby is concerned, with that recent article, I think it's really interesting, and it confused me a lot, actually, because I'm not sure who she's reaching out to for support. I don't know if she's trying to put a cry out to the, you know, the system and the and when I say the FOP and the rank-and-file officers and those with power in the city to, you know, understand her difficult position, or she's putting a call out to those who on the ground don't support her, because we understand the part she plays in the issue that faced Baltimore. And so it just really confused me. And I understand, you know, the difficultness of being a black person that is ultimately considered to be a sellout and to be a black person at the same time. It's difficult, but, you know, you have to pick your side, and I understand that our theories of change differ.
So you think Marilyn? You think Marilyn Mosby is a sellout? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, yes. You know, I think the article definitely. I would go that direction. Our theories of change are different. I don't believe in the theory of change of assimilation, and the thought that if you're, you know, you can get to the table, you can make significant change. I think that's a false idea. History has shown us it doesn't work. We have to go to a table with a collective of folks that are the most oppressed with our agenda, not, oh, we're going to try to slide in. That doesn't work, right? Like, what that actually is that I'm going to try to make it to the top and become an elite, and then maybe I'll trickle something back down to the community. That's not okay. And that was one of the one things that really stood out to me in the article was her idea that Black Lives Matter and the movement for Black Lives is unorganized and that we just have to be at the table. And this idea of a table. But, you know, I digress.
No, it's okay. We have this really interesting range of ideas here. And so let me see where...
I understand that she's in a really complicated position. I get it. But I'm not going to reward... I'm not going to, you know, pop her up and, you know, claim her to be this great state's attorney, and she's done all these great things for doing her job, doing the basic tenets of her job, which is to charge folks that commit crimes with crimes.
Okay. Well, so let me get to the phones here and then come back to the studio at 410-319-8888. Let's go to Dave. You're on the air. Good morning.
I'd have to disagree with Waleek, but I'd like to first say that I hope all your listeners will support your program to the max, because when you have articles like Hilton's or a columnist in The Sun yesterday dissing Brave state's attorney, imagine the good that her stand has caused, perhaps giving other state's attorneys the spine to stand up. It gives Mayor incoming Catherine Pugh a chance, an opportunity to take a boom to the police department. Let's bring in some good police, because obviously with FOB, the culture in this media in the town, except for yourself, Mark, racism is rampant. And I think Ms. Mosby deserves a lot of support. And speaking about rising up, let's rise up and support this brave young attorney general.
State's attorney. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. So let me get some thoughts here. I mean, so Dave, Tom, I want you to comment on what you just heard from the men in the studio, but also from Raleigh Kays on the phone.
Well, Waleek is right about the DOJ report. It said some very damning things about the Baltimore police force. But that being said, and Doug and I have sparred on this a little bit in the past, the reality is they went to jury trials. The reality is all but one who actually went to trials were acquitted. And so it's not fair to call these officers criminals because they went through trials. And I'm sorry, court trials, not jury trials. But they were acquitted. And I think we have to just take that for what it is. Yes, it's extremely difficult to get a conviction of a police officer. And Dwight's talked about that in the past, and I agree with him. But that being said, you have to just say, okay, she did her job. She brought the charges she felt were appropriate. And it didn't work out because the cases couldn't be proven. And that's really where I think the starting point is. But you can't discount the fact that the DOJ report said the Baltimore police force is replete with racism. It's replete with problems that need to be corrected. And that's why I go back to my original point about how tough a job it will be for the new mayor, because she's got to bridge that gap. She's got to bridge the gap between instilling confidence in the guys who are supposed to be arresting and being fair to citizens, and between people who feel that they've been treated very, very unfairly and for a very long time.
You know, Mark, what the caller brings out is such an important point, because we have a public official who is standing up to some very powerful forces here. What a different day it would be if other public officials and judges and lawyers exposed and educated the public about what really takes place in our system, not to knock it down, but rather to build it up, to make it a fair system of justice. Mr. Hayes is correct. We do have a broken system, beginning from the money bail system, which tells people unless you have money, you're going to be locked up. But when we have a public official who's prepared to take on a job that few have done before, it's not to glamorize her office. I've been a defense lawyer my whole life. But it is to say that when someone is the one out of 100 who's willing to follow evidence, to conduct her own investigation, not to let the police investigate themselves, we have to recognize that as something very important that's happening, and we do have to support an independent prosecution. Why, for instance, do police officers continue to bring the charges against people when in every other place that I know, it's the prosecutor who's supposed to make that determination? We give police much too much power.
So, Dwight, I mean, this to me is, I think one thing Raleigh said is complex, and that's why I started the show by saying it was complex. I think this is complex. But now you have a situation where the state's attorney, which has always cooperated with the police to indict and convict people that they arrest, has a breach, and clearly a breach with City Hall. And people are clamoring for a different kind of justice system, as you can see from the DOJ report and from the No Boundaries Coalition report that I think was really scathing. I don't know if you all read that report or not, but it was a report where 500 people were interviewed in the west side of Baltimore, all talking about excessive, not just physical, but verbal abuse they take on a daily basis from the police. So, I mean, so this is where we find ourselves, right? So, I mean, and I wonder where this puts us in both in terms of a legal moment and a political moment.
Well, I think the interesting thing in terms of how this is going to be recorded in history is how the body politic of Baltimore City reacts when we get to the election process. I firmly believe, and I agree with Doug on just about everything he said, that Ms. Mosby does have a substantial political base that's going to support her actions. Because what I bring to the table, as you all know, is I guess I've tried maybe 15, 20 police brutality cases. I've handled over 100. Never intended for this to happen, but it has. And wrote the book Under Color of Law. And I have to give her all the credit in the world for going ahead and taking on the challenge of the major forces that oppose her, political forces that would oppose her and would attempt to destroy her. She knew that going in, and she's accepted that because I have the emotional aspect of seeing juries come back and judges hamstringing me and tying me into corners, defending the police rather than almost so more so than the defense attorneys. I've had the occasion of seeing not only Mr. Bernstein, but even back to Ms. Jessamy, as much as we love her, meeting with them and having them tell families that I'm not going any further. There will be no investigation. As in the West case, when Mr. Bernstein met with the West family. Case over. No investigation, no nothing. Not anything in terms of what their responsibilities in the office, in my opinion, were. It's not a criticism, it's just a fact. And so I think, you know, I go back and will say over and over, I disagree with Mr. Hayes. I think that she gets high marks for doing what she did.
And I'll rebut that is that, I will not give her praise for doing the job she said she wanted to do.
But so many people have backed away from that responsibility.
I refuse to give her praise for doing your job just because other folks have not done their job. Like, the standard doesn't change.
Well, that's what we disagree.
You expect folks to do their job. And if they don't do their job, you elect someone new. That's why she won. But I refuse to give her credit for just doing her job, particularly when that is not enough. It is not enough as a black person in this country, particularly a black person with a platform and office, to do that in this state. When black people are dying literally every 24 hours. This week alone, there was over 5 new deaths. And I don't even know all the names because they happen so fast. It is not enough. And for you to think so, it just shows you're a part of the problem. Because people will still keep getting killed every single day until we change the system. And the idea that we can just put band-aids in and fix stuff is just false. This system has been built on hundreds upon hundreds of years of consistent practice.
All she can do, Ms. Hayes, is as she's doing with the federal prosecutors, is prosecute the people that are apprehended. And that's the other side of the apple of watching her daily routine in terms of a prosecutor. And I believe that that's being carried forward.
For what new justice and what new public safety looks like.
See, I don't find...
That's what you can do. Instead of dodging us, dodging the people that are actually trying to make change, dodging the people that are trying to make her job easier.
See,
it goes both ways, though, Malik. I mean, the police have to arrest. I mean, they have to start the process, and then she makes a decision on who gets charged.
Show multiple times, I don't think public safety needs to look like what it looks like in this city. So I don't think arresting folks and just prosecuting them is the way to public safety. I don't think that's the case.
See, I always like to find the points where we agree so that we can move forward, because there's always going to be some disagreement. I think... If we look at this as, Mr. Hayes, let me just speak for a moment. I think that when we look at things as you do and as I do with a historical context, we understand how little justice African-American people have received, both as crime victims like Freddie Gray or as people who are accused of crime. And so when the first prosecutors decided shortly after 1865 to prosecute law enforcement and to prosecute white people who were accused of killing black people, that represented a historical moment, a landmark decision. It took enormous courage to bring charges against white defendants and to bring charges against law enforcement. In some ways, we are faced with a similar situation today. In this country, not just Baltimore, but in this country, police can kill in the line of duty, and in situations where the evidence showed they committed a crime, they are not being brought to justice. And when they are charged, the prosecutors are not determined to convict. Something different is happening in this city, and it's putting the police on notice that they cannot continue to engage in similar conduct.
So I have to jump in because I have to take a short break and come right back. Ernest and Clarence, the next two callers up, 410-319-8888. The other part of this question we do have to investigate, even though it may be different on this panel, is did she move too quickly, which is what some of her critics are saying. We couldn't get one of those critics on the show today, I don't think. We tried, but we'll come back and talk about that as well. Welcome back, folks. This is Mark Steiner. Good to have you with us here as we talk about what's going on with Marilyn Mosby. That's been all over the news. The officers going to getting awards and how that caused political controversy in town. The awards coming from a very right-wing conservative group supporting the officers, at least three white officers. The three black officers were not there. We still don't know if they were invited to that event or not. There was that. There were the articles now and columnists who are saying that Marilyn Mosby made a mistake. She didn't prosecute this right. People who are supporting her saying that this is she's the first person who ever done this before, and others saying this is still not enough. So Doug Culver's with us, professor of law, University of Maryland School of Law, noted defense attorney Dwight Pettit is with us, Baltimore attorney and talk show host of Tom Moore Show. Thomas Moronic is with us, by the way, on 680 WCBM. On the AM dial, and Raleigh Hayes, organizer with Be More Black, and you all are 410-319-8888. Unless anybody wants to jump in here real fast, we'll go to the phones. Let us go to Ernest. You're on the air. Welcome.
I want to thank Dwight Pettit and Professor Colburn. They are right on the mark. By the way, Malik, I got more than 25 years on the Baltimore Police Department. So they are absolutely right. And Marilyn Mosby did not have to charge those officers. She had probable cause. Here's a healthy man that ran up an alley, and he was healthy. He was running. And then when he get in that wagon, when they take him out, 9 days later, he's dead. That's probable cause right there. He didn't die from a heart attack. He died from, they ruled it as a homicide. So, and the Rodney King beating. We saw those police beat Rodney King like a dog. Worse than a dog. Those police were found not guilty. In New York, we saw those police choke a man to death. And Palantero has not been charged at all yet and still working. And these six police, that was involved in the Freddie Gray trial, still working, accepting awards at a racist convention. And you mean to tell me you're gonna talk up for that? That's ridiculous. And I just say this. I thank God for Marilyn Mosby, Doug Colbert, and things, because all the media, and sometimes even on EAA when you had Cheryl Wood come on, but you never had Miss Eiffel come on.
I have had Miss Eiffel on the show.
I didn't hear her talking about Freddie Gray. I didn't hear it. And she wasn't on as much as Cheryl Ann Wood, who was talking against Marilyn Mosby.
Right. Well, let me just say, Ernest, real fast, because we have had Cheryl Ann on the show.
You might have had her on there, but you didn't have on as much as...
But you're not going to get Cheryl Ann Eiffel to come on the show because she's head of the Legal Defense Fund and running all over the country doing her work. She's not going to come on the show as frequently as you'd like. But it's just not going to happen. That's reality.
But Ernest's point is well taken. The media plays a very big role in this. And not speaking about this show, but Mark, it is difficult for the public to get another point of view other than a very strong pro-police view. One of the reasons that I decided to sit in on these cases every day was to try to present what was happening inside the courtroom, because many of the commentators were speaking from outside the courtroom, but they hadn't really sat through the trials. That's why I concluded that the evidence supported these prosecutions. But to try to get a word in a New York Times, I mean, a New York Times, they could have written articles about why a prosecutor decided not to charge the Staten Island killing and to give the public a look at that officer. Why did they do an article where they're looking at Miss Mosby's personal life? I mean, we all know how difficult it is to maintain a healthy relationship in marriage, but to focus on that, to make that the part, you know, it almost makes it seem like the other issues are incidental. I understand what the reporter was trying to do, but all the anonymous people in that article, Mark, that's not good reporting when you talk about the 20-year-old veteran and the 30-year lieutenant. How is anyone supposed to respond to those things? There are other people who would have been quoted as defending Miss Mosby, and I only saw at most two people, and one was half-hearted about it.
There's a couple things to follow
up. Let me get Tom Maronick in, then come right back to Relique, and then go over here to Dwight.
It was a tough article, and this is one of those cases where maybe they weren't aware the microphone, the recording device was on at all times, and then anything was fair game. I thought the commentary into their personal life really had nothing to do with the subject. I thought that was really unfair to the Mosbys. Also, I agree as far as the sources, but the thing we don't know, and this may be only known in the mind of Mr. Hilton, is whether or not he could get people who wanted to express those views on the record. I know that particularly with the police, if you want to say something, it's supposed to be done through channels, and if you go off on the record and you're not part of that specific channel, you can get in trouble for speaking out of turn. So, I mean, I think there's pluses and minuses in it, but it was a tough article. I'm not sure why they participated in this. They could have just said, we don't wish to say anything. But it certainly did not portray them in a very good light.
And Relique, you were about to say what?
And I mean, I think that article just portrays the complexities of being black and a woman in a position of power in a world that does not like blackness or women, right? Like, I'm not going to deny that she doesn't suffer from the same things that I have to suffer from being black. And definitely that is not worse because she is also a woman. Right, like I'm not going to take those things from her because I can't. But well, my point is that it's just sad to me that folks are happy when someone does their job and settles for that. Right, like I'm not going to settle for a system that allows black people to die every day. I'm just not going to settle for that. And I think that's where we disagree. And it's, you know, it might just be because that's my lived experience and in my reality is that I don't know if I'm going to make it to the next few weeks. Not because I'm going to do anything wrong, but because I could be stopped at any time by a police officer and shot. And we can't say that, you know, she's putting Baltimore police on notice when there's a video circulating around right now of a police officer harassing a grandmother.
And Malik,
this isn't getting better. So these, like, false ideas that, oh, because she charged them, that's going to stop police officers from doing this. It's false. It's just false.
And Malik, I agree with you that...
Relique,
I agree with you that we should never settle for a system that merely requires that people do their job. But when people who have not been doing their job are replaced by someone who is attempting to do what's necessary to be done at the pain of so many attacks on her professionalism, that's where it seems to me the public should support what someone is doing that others have not been able to do successfully. And that's why I think this is a very good starting point for making the system work the way it's supposed to.
Dwight, and then we'll go to the phones.
The only thing I would add, it seems to me Mr. Hayes is mixing apples and oranges. One is the unauthorized and unsanctioned killing of police officers and black folks. The other is the horrendous crime rate and killing of each other in Baltimore City. I don't know how we shift all the responsibility, and that seems to be what I'm hearing. If I'm hearing the wrong thing, please correct me. We're trying to put in the responsibility for the horrendous crime rate in Baltimore City all at the feet of Ms. Mosby, when that is a shared responsibility between the administration and the police department, as well as the state's attorney's office and the U.S. attorney's office.
For citizen violence and community violence on the state's attorney's office. What I will put the responsibility on is for allowing officers to lie about citizens actually committing violence or not, just for arrest rate and for conviction rate. That is what I will put on this.
Let's hear this quick quote from Marilyn Mosby and then go back to the phones, 410-319-8888. So hold this. Louise and Clarence, we're going to get your calls in here. But this is a clip, I think, from when she dropped the case, right? Let's go.
As the chief prosecutor for Baltimore City, I took it up to uphold justice and to treat every individual within my jurisdiction equally and fairly under the law. I take my oaths both very seriously. Since the start of my administration, we have been and continue to be wholly committed to creating a fair and equitable justice system for all and holding people accountable for crimes that they commit regardless of age, race, color, sex, creed, socioeconomic status, or in this case, occupation. As a chief prosecutor elected...
So just her statement to the end of this, when she dropped the cases, there's a lot there. I mean, I think that people were... I mean, the argument's going to persist that the cases could have been fought, could have been argued better. And I know, Doug, that you are the exact opposite pole of that. That's one of the reasons I like you here, because you can speak to that. But I think that that's an argument that's going to persist on numbers of levels. And the argument made in the New York Times piece was made by others that so many of the prosecutors in her office with long histories. Six were let go, and then the resignations have been coming in like a torrent from her office. And that affects the way you can try a case and affects your ability to try a case.
Mark, from the very beginning, from the moment that charges were made, there was an outcry, first from the police union and then from many of their supporters, many of whom were former prosecutors, under whose watch police officers who killed in the line of duty were not prosecuted. So from the very beginning, the police supporters have been loud and clear, we want Ms. Mosby off the case. They even talked at one point about a special prosecutor, which, by the way, we haven't heard too much from the Fraternal Orders of Police about requiring a special prosecutor statewide. I don't think they'll support that legislation. But what we do here is so many people coming forward and looking at this particular prosecution and being critical, and they will remain critical of it. What I like about Ms. Mosby's policy is that she wants to go after violent crime. She wants to focus on the people who are committing the worst crimes in our community and is asking for community assistance, but she's also willing to look at people committing nonviolent charges or people who are drug users and seeking treatment as a way of giving them a second chance.
And the thought, there's a lot of people just called in, see if we can get some callers in here. Do we want to say something, Dwight?
Go ahead.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Let's go to Louise. You're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Good morning, Louise.
I wanted to say that I support Marilyn Mosby 100%. You know that someone is doing something right when all the power structure is against you. And those who have a vested interest in this corrupt system are against you. So you know she's doing something right, if that is the case. And I would like to say to, I think, who is it, Mr. Hayes, that you have to give credit where credit is due, whether it's their job or not. If they're doing their job, you have to give them credit for it. And Marilyn Mosby, she's not only doing that, but I believe she just had a fundraiser not too long ago to help victims of crime. So, you know, she's doing other things also. So I think he's completely out of line, basically criticizing criticizing people for being saying that they people that have fought for us saying that they are part of the problem by defending Marilyn Mosby. I think that's completely out of line. And so, you know, that so basically that's all I have to say.
Right. Louise, thank you. Let me make a couple more calls in here, get their thoughts. Malik, I'll let you respond first, and we'll go around the room here as well. 410-319-8888. Clarence, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Steiner.
Good morning.
Mr. Rileek, I will venerate Ms. Mosby for her courage and make a special denotation for those before her who didn't have that type of courage, even if I don't praise her for what you say doing her job. We have laws. Laws dictate the behavior of a society. It provides the consequences for those who violate those laws. It also provides consequences for those who are, or it should provide consequences for those who are given the power to enforce those laws when they violate those laws. You have an entity, several entities, that have injected themselves in that DNA as obstacles. So I would like to ask you, Mr. Riley, where do you think the interjection to break that up, those entities and those forces who have injected themselves as obstacles in the enforcement of those laws, where do you think the injection to break that up should come from?
All right, let me get one more caller in here, and we're going to probably get to Tyrone and to Leo as well, who called in. A lot of people are getting into this now. So let me go to Trinity on line one, then we'll come back to let Raleigh start, and then we'll go around the room. Trinity, welcome. Hi, Trinity, you there? Trinity? Hello? Trinity, you there?
Yes. How are you doing?
Okay.
I just wanted to just give a brief support, excuse me, to Raleigh and his stating the facts that when somebody is doing their job, it is not necessarily to go overboard and give accolades like they're doing something exceptional. It is your job, and you're supposed to be doing it. It's like the attitude that we're taking in life in general these days, whether it's the schools. Oh, thank you for sitting up and listening to students, to Ms. Mosby. Yeah, you thank her for doing her job, sure. But you don't go overboard with that and say that she's doing something exceptional. She's doing what she's supposed to do and may not have done that quite properly in order to get the job done. So just to have somebody do something, and with that's enough. That shows the condition that this country is in today. And I know that's sort of rambling, but I just wanted to give him support on that.
Appreciate it, Trinity. And before we go to Tyrone and Leo, let me let you back in here since your name has been called out numerous times.
Well, the only thing that I wanted to go to was just the part of the article which reflects some of the difficulties that Ms. Mosby encountered and why the level of frustration. First of all, we know that there was obviously confusion and problems in the autopsy, the pathologist. That created reasonable doubt throughout the case. It's not saying she could have corrected that by delaying, but that was a factor. Then we get to the police investigation, the woman who testified that she thought it was he died by accident and not by intent. And then we get into this area of the personnel records. That was the city solicitor's office. Even Judge Williams went into that when he said, well, why didn't you get the records? And the state's attorney, the prosecutor said, well, we tried. We served subpoenas. They didn't give us to him in a timely manner. And he excluded those records in terms of the trial level. And then we get to the fact of the emails where you gave the police department and everybody the subpoenas to get the emails of these officers, and those subpoenas were not, in fact, served. So you see that level of frustration that even in the prosecution of the Freddie Gray case, she was running into so many internal interference and so much internal defiance that we have to realize the level of frustration that we created. And I'm just mentioning three or four things. Doug sat there every day. He could probably make a list three or four times that size that she was trying to navigate those waters with all those sharks in the water.
So that's real.
Before we go to you, Doug, and Tom, we got to go to Tom, but let's go to Relique, because Relique, your name was called out, let me go to you, and then we'll go to Tom.
I think my main thing would be to leave with is just that I won't be satisfied with any individual's actions until they step up and take true leadership and responsibility and actually seriously work to change these issues and speak on them frankly and honestly. Because at this point, as long as we continue to dance around issues and speak politically correct about them, and the fact is just that, you know, society is racist. America is a racist country, and it is not safe for black people here. And work towards, like, fixing those issues and with a historical understanding of these issues, that I won't be okay. I won't be satisfied until I know that my nephew can grow up in this city and not worry about dying, right? Like, to my niece can grow up and the same thing doesn't happen to her. For me, this isn't a question of politics. It's not a question of do I like Marilyn Mosby or dislike her. It is a question of survival and for me and other blacks. This is our everyday life. So you can talk about your theories of change, you can talk about your laws, but until the facts, like actual reality and things that happen every day change, I won't be satisfied. And that means holding every black elected official, every single other elected official, those that are not accountable, I will. And I'm unrepentant in my criticism of Marilyn Mosby, and I'll stay that way. And, you know, Ms. Mosby knows me. She can contact me if she would like to sit down and talk. We can do that. It is what it is.
And, Tom, we haven't heard your voice in a minute. Go ahead.
A couple of things. I do think that there are systemic changes that need to happen, and Waleek makes good points about that. But here's the other side of it. In not every single case has it been the officer acting improperly. In Ferguson, hands up, don't shoot is a myth. It never happened. The officer was acquitted by the Department of Justice in that case. But there's also cases like in South Carolina where the prosecutors went after a man who shot an unarmed black man in the back. And there's a case that I think, based on the evidence I've seen, another South Carolina case where there will certainly be a conviction in that case where a female officer shot a man in a car. There are huge problems in this society, but we can't just go after each case and say it's an example of brutality. I think we have to look at each case specifically, but we have to look at systemic problems that plague Baltimore, that plague Ferguson, that plague so many departments across the country and don't give people an equal chance under justice.
You know, Mark, Tom mentioned earlier, or you did, about the Ferguson effect, this feeling that police can't do their job, and so he pointed to the few arrests or the reduced number of arrests that are coming into the district courts, and I actually think that's a good thing. I actually think that if you're arresting 100 people and convicting a third of them and two-thirds of them are charges that you're dismissing, that probably many of those arrests should not have taken place in the first place. And so I look at a reduced pretrial system as something that's a benefit to the entire system. I also agree with what Raleigh and Trinity were saying, too. We do need a historical context for this. We should and must understand how what's happening today reflects what's happened for several hundreds of years. When we find the exceptional elected official who's not going to play to the establishment or to the power structure, but rather is going to be speaking about equal justice for all, that's a huge step. We should have officials who do that, but oftentimes officials will do what they consider the enforcement of their office by making sure that those who are in power are immune from prosecution. What Ms. Mosby's saying is that a police officer who commits a serious crime is not above the law.
Let me open the phones again here at 410-319-8888. Try to get a couple calls real quick before we have final thoughts. Tyrone, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, first of all, we don't know what happened in Ferguson. There's no video or anything. Usually the video contradicts what the police officers are saying anyway. And first of all, and secondly, all police officers aren't bad, but the ones that are bad need to be punished, just like any criminal. And Marilyn Mosby, by the way, is a leader. We're not used to that in Baltimore. I mean, leadership entails doing the right thing, even when everybody is against you. It takes a strong person to do that, stand up, see the power structure of Baltimore. Debris mistrust, okay? It gives the illusion that they're doing something about the crime, but we have a low, very low close rate for things like murder and violent crimes as a result, because people, it breeds the trust of the police. I know people that were personally, that have personally had drugs planted on them, okay? I know people personally that, that have had that happen to them. So this type of thing actually breeds the trust. So you, it leads to you not being able to solve murder because people don't want to talk to you because of the things you've done to them in the past as far as harassment and depriving them of their civil and human rights. That's all I'd like to have to say. You get gentlemen doing a good job. Thank you.
Tyron, I appreciate it. And let's go to one quick caller here. Leo, we only have a couple minutes left. Let me quick thought, please.
Yes, Mark Steiner, how you doing?
Good, Leo. We don't have much time.
And everybody. Well, the reality is that the mayor has always been a collaborator with the Fraternal Order of Police. She never reined in the police who have a history of police brutality. She's been in office 20 years as a city council person, president of the city council, and mayor. So she knows the deal. Currently, the police are not patrolling the black community. Most of our police currently are retaliating. That is why the murder clearance rate is down to 25 or 30%, because they don't care about us. They don't live in our city. We got a pro-cop judge, Barry Williams, and we've got David Fowler, the medical examiner, who says that Freddie Gray could only have been murdered or injured in the van. That is not a provable fact. That was a lie. So thank God for Marilyn Mosby.
Leo, thank you. So, you know, one of the things I thought about Dwight as he was speaking was that one thing that comes out of all this is nobody is being held responsible for Freddie Gray's death.
And that's a very tragic conclusion, Mark. But let me go further in terms of just a summary statement. I think what we're seeing now with some of the things that have recently taken place that we haven't explored is that Mrs. Mosby has moved to reach out to Commissioner Davis in terms of the gun prosecution. She's reached out to the U.S. Attorney's Office, as I see reflected on the evening news. So I think in terms of this horrendous crime rate and the fact that maybe the police department has taken a knee, that we see her now moving, which I think is reciprocated and received by Commissioner Davis, for that we're going to have a movement toward, well, let's get off the pass and let's move toward prosecutions and arrest and doing what we have to do to stop the violence in this city. So I see that as a very positive move in the right direction, not forgetting the tragedy of Freddie Gray, but including that in the future movement of the city.
And I want to echo that as well, Mark, because what we are seeing are a lot of conversations that may well result in some very important public announcements soon, in which the police commissioner and the state's attorney and the judges are able to agree on something that would have a tremendous impact on the community.
About 30 seconds, Willie Hayes, if you want to make a final thought.
I'm tired of folks that are not living in these conditions in these communities thinking they have solutions for communities that already have the solutions, if we could be listened to and actually given the power to enact them. I am at a point where I think people are just under this impression that, one, cops tell the truth, right? Like, they don't. And, right, so, like, this understanding that the cops' narrative is always true and, like, uses it as a basis of fact is a mindset we have to get out of. And we have to get out of the mindset that folks with power have our best interests at heart, which is also not true, and that working with these folks will actually change things.
Willie Hayes, Be More Black organizer, you've had the last thought for today. Good to have you with us. I want to thank our good friend Dwight Pettit for being in the studio. Thanks, Dwight, for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
And Doug Colbert, always good to have you in the studio.
Thank you very much, Mark.
And thank Tom Ronnie for joining us a little earlier. So we have a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Aviva Chomsky to talk about her book, Undocumented, How Immigration Became Illegal. Stay with us. We'll be right back.